At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Core Queen Podcast. I am your girl, Didi Leggett, aka The Core Queen. We are on our final episode of the first season, episode 20. Welcome back. Well, we are over here talking shit, getting fit physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. I have a special guest on my show today. Y'all, please welcome Stephen the Dream Smith.
Thank you, thank you, thank
welcome.
You.
Welcome.
I appreciate you. Congratulations on a first season.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I know that's big for you as well, but I appreciate you having me on here today to be able to express to the people what's going on with me and just be a part of what you got going on too.
We are happy to have you here. And listen, y'all. Listen, y'all know I be asking people for bios. This dude done sent a whole dissertation for his bio. Well, I broke it down a little bit, so I'm gonna let y'all know a little bit about Stephen the Dream, okay? Because he's been out here working in these streets.
Got to.
So Stephen the Dream is a 32-year-old from Fort Mill, South Carolina. If y'all don't know about Fort Mill, South Carolina, let me tell y'all. Fort Mill is a hidden gem, so don't bring y'all asses out here trying to move here, okay?
Don't do it.
Go to Charlotte.
Stay in Charlotte.
He is a native who earned a Division III football spot at Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. Although he went to seek a degree in mass communications, as he thought this was his ultimate path to becoming the top broadcaster in the South, after 1 year and one semester in his college journey, he quickly realized that his path would change. He left Virginia, came back to Charlotte, North Carolina, where he would go on to work immediately with local hip-hop artists in the area as a videographer. After a few years of doing that, his focus shifted from videography to his first love, radio. In early 2016, Charlotte internet radio station Power 104.4 FM offered him his own time slot for a morning sports radio show that was named the Clutch Radio Show. Along with his co-host, Reem Rose, the show went on to become one of the top listened to shows on the program. They feature appearances from Olympic athletes, Super Bowl champions, basketball Hall of Famers, and sports reality TV stars as well. The show's staple and what seemed to make it special was the ever-present connection with Carolina artists during their music breaks, playing their songs and providing quick exposure to an audience that went hand in hand. Over that time, a relationship had developed between many artists and Stephen the Dream. This led to him spending the entire 2018 on an apprenticeship under the guidance of none other than DJ, record breaker, and tastemaker DJ E. Sud. That's 2 Chainz official DJ, okay? During that 1 year run in Atlanta, Stephen was able to obtain the knowledge and experience to help expand and create platforms for artists and media back in the Carolinas. Before he decided to come back to Charlotte, though, he did something that most of us will never get a chance to do, and he got to embark on one of his childhood dreams. He was presented an opportunity during the Super Bowl in Atlanta in January of 2019. he was invited to the First Take desk to meet his long compared namesake, Stephen A. Smith. It was seen live on air via ESPN's number one sports debate show. In February 2019, Stephen left for the Carolinas, and that and the Third interview series was launched and created as a platform for artists, business owners, and creatives to sit down for one-on-one interviews that for many will be their first opportunity ever in front of a media platform speaking on their craft. Stephen has created quick buzz in the city from having having connections within the music, media, business, and sports industry. During NBA All-Star Weekend, he met the Real GOATs. If y'all don't know who the Real GOATs are, they are the videography team for DaBaby from The Foe from Charlotte, North Carolina. And a week later, he was asked to help cast roles for and appear in the music video in the 2019 hit song Suge by DaBaby. This video has eclipsed over 212 million views on YouTube. Since The Dream, his on-air and personality moniker, has gone to create his own promotional platform for the Carolinas called Carolina Heat Up that promotes different music and businesses in the Carolina area. He has gone on to work with Billboard charting producer I Got 20 on My Beat to creating the Skip Line Review, an opportunity for artists to have their own work selected for a collaboration with well-known artists and producers. This has been a major bridge for artists and producers alike to have a fair entry into what we know to be a tough industry. In 2022, Stephen started hosting more club events, concerts, and shows featuring notable celebrities like DaBaby, Lil Boosie, Young Jeezy, Uncle Luke, Pastor Troy, Rich Homie Quan, Big Boogie, Honcho, Jada Waiter, Ruby Rose, Jacquees, and many others. Right now, Stephen The Dream is known as the voice of the Carolinas. Y'all welcome Stephen The Dream.
You did that so masterfully. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna take you everywhere I go. This is me right here. I was gonna sit back. She did that.
I am so excited to have you on the show. And my first question for you is, how the hell did you come up with the name The Dream?
The Dream. So I got it honest. I gotta give it to my mother.
Okay.
So my name is Stephen Dream Smith.
Really?
So my mom always, she gonna take the credit. My mama Leo. So she, I'm a Leo, my mama Leo, my daddy Leo. I got a bunch of Leos in my family. Lord. So she always say, yeah, I named you to be exactly who you was gonna be. Now at the time, when I did sports radio, I was Carolina Shine, which was just a different moniker. But as time went along, I just went to my name, and it just made sense. The Dream. So that's what I've been.
Your mother must have known.
She knew something.
Wow. She knew something. And you're originally from Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Yes, I grew up in Fort Mill, South Carolina. I was born in Lexington, Kentucky, but I grew up my whole life in Fort Mill.
That's weird. I've never met anybody that's originally from Fort Mill, South Carolina.
It ain't a lot of us that it was a gym, small town. You know, all the people that look like us pretty much was in the same area. And, you know, it was just one school. So, you know, it was what it was. But I was able to come up out of there, and it's still a place that I hold dear to my heart. Okay. So
what was it like during that apprenticeship with DJ E-Sud?
It was amazing because I went out to Atlanta because I really was kind of lost. Like, I really didn't have nothing going on. My mom was like, just come out here for a year. You know what I'm saying? Just come and get you a job, figure out what you want to really do. And the first week I went out there, Sud just said, pull up to the studio. I pull up the Street Execs, and there's just Travis Porter sitting there. First time I see the guys from Travis Porter there. Mm-hmm. I think Key Glock was there, and just a bunch of people that I've been hearing and seeing, and they're just – everybody's in there working, and I got my computer in there, so I'm just sitting around, and I'm like, let me act like I'm just doing something right now, because everybody looking at me like, you better do something while you're in here. So that just turned into, you know, Sud allowing me to find my own path. Mm-hmm. I started just doing some videos and stuff, doing some live streaming, and I learned, and I'm grateful that anytime I ask, hey, can I come to this club, can I come to this event, he never said no. Okay. Never said no. So I don't know what he saw in me to allow me to even do that, because I really didn't have anything going on. Mm-hmm. Other than just producing a couple podcasts. But yeah, that was dope. It was dope.
Wow. Okay. That's dope. That is dope. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what has been your experience here in the Carolinas when it comes to like the music scene?
I've had a great experience because one, I just jumped head first into it when I came back and I just started doing interviews. That was my first thing. And I just started providing a platform and just using doing what I do. I can talk. I talk well. I do, you know, this is something I love. I love the media. I've always loved that. But I was just offering something that I felt nobody was doing. I didn't see any Charlotte artists with interviews or anybody that was doing anything like that. So when I first started, I got a lot of love. As I have progressed and moved along in what I've done, I've seen both sides of it. I've seen where artists will be upset. I've seen where other promoters will be upset. I've seen all of it, but I just know I ultimately am doing this because I just want to help people.
Okay.
That's literally, it could have been a coach. It could have been anything, but I just know my path in life was to help, and I found a way to be able to do it with the resources and the things that I know from music.
Okay. So would you say that on your end, the Carolinas as a whole, I'm just saying, fuck it.
Say it.
Do you feel like they're supportive of you or artists or whatever you've been doing? Do you feel supported in what you do?
Yeah, I feel supported in the most part because a lot of, and I'll say in the Carolinas, because I'll go to a lot of places and I've done tours and I know people that I've had to reach out to and they put their face on the line to say, hey, this guy's good to come out here. Mm-hmm. He's trying to help. I've seen it a lot. What I haven't seen it in certain places may be when I first started out and there was certain labels or certain people that I thought were in positions. Mm-hmm. I wasn't too aware, but I was just, hey, why don't you listen to them? Why don't you look at them? And everything was about money. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, I didn't realize it because I can look and understand the business side of it knowing more now, but a lot of good artists, I think, just never got a shine or never got a look because we were so fresh and we didn't have that music business, and we still don't have a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing that I saw pushback from. I've been able to do events and get support from the clubs, from the people, the DJs. I've been able to get a lot of that, but I think that's just because I've shown a lot of support too. Mm. And that's where that's come from. Like, I will go to events, I will post your flyer, I will post your music and do that because I like it or because that's what I just feel like I need to do at the time. But I don't really see the hate as much because I just focus on the love. I focus on who rock with me.
Right.
So.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So, you know, we hear a lot about like how Memphis and Atlanta, how they support their artists. Do you think, like, why do you think the artists in the Carolinas don't get that type of support?
I think it's crab in a bucket mentality. And that's because I can always point to it because my experience of really seeing, of course, was when DaBaby when he took off, he jumped out of the bucket. So far out the bucket that he became the fisher. And you know what I'm saying? Everybody was hoping that he would reach down and pull somebody out because he was just so far away. But I think people now are kind of scared and nervous because they don't want to not be the next one to go or get left out. Because I hear it a lot. I hear people get, hey, bro, I saw you do this for this person. Why you don't do this for me? And I'm like, bro, I can't do it. That's not how it works every time. But I know a lot of artists feel that way, that they're not getting support. And it's really not something that you can force. Mm-hmm. Like, people are funny. Like, I've been with artists, and 2 years ago, I promise you, and me and this artist will talk about it today. Like, these people were like, I don't know who that person is. I'm not talking to that person. And today, in their DM every day, hey, I rock with your music. Come to my show. Come do this. And they'll be like, I ain't rocking with them. And I'm like, because they just didn't support when it was just genuine. So they know that they forced. They know it's forced. Some artists, shoot, me, I'm taking it. Yeah, support me. I'm taking it all because at the end of the day, I know what I was. I know I can say I told you so, but I don't have to. Yeah. So I know a lot of artists don't get discouraged like by that lack of feeling like you're not supported. Just appreciate, like I said, appreciate the people that do and double down. Try to double them up, triple them up. Make other people passionate about your music. Cause yeah, everybody wanna make it. Everybody wanna go.
So do you think that because you know how you got Young Dolph, you got Yo Gotti, like you have those types of artists who have actually taken other artists in their area and pulled them up. Do you think that the baby is missing a mark on that?
I think we are in a market that's so fast and in a time that's is so popcorn that we don't forget that Gotti been in the game for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And he was pushing artists, but till he really signed the artist and put on, he had put a lot of time on his own to where his ego is out of it. Gotti mm-hmm. is up there. We don't look at Gotti in the same conversations as Moneybagg. It's just not, they still can rap together. Same thing with Dolph. Dolph was at a level to where he could put a Key Glock on and he didn't feel like it was no competition because he was so far away. What Baby came in and did was Stunner for Vegas. You right with me. Everywhere I go, we on the same level until you either go past me or I just keep going and you do your thing. He hasn't really, he came back. Rich Dunk had an opportunity to do his thing. Even 704 Chop. And I name these people because I know that.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We can't erase history. Mm-hmm. And what I tell people is what I've also been doing since I've popped or gotten a chance to speak my mind is write the story of the Carolinas over the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I know what's been, I'm in tune. So to even see him give opportunities, he's still 4 years into it's like he graduated. He just 4 years into his success. So he can only do so much because again, our egos, we humans.
Yeah.
He might see the next thing and he might understand just like he was at the top, mm-hmm. he got knocked off because of something that he did. Mm-hmm. Somebody could have surpassed him from Charlotte in that time and anything could have happened. I can't say that it did happen. So that means he still got time. But I think we just kind of accelerating that so quickly because mm-hmm. I know Gotti, you know, it's just a different era. It's a different time, man. And it's harder. So that is a reason why we don't have enough of those people that can come back and do that yet because just nobody's done it. Mm.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you believe, it's kind of in that same line of question, do you believe that the gatekeepers are blocking Carolina artists from being successful?
Nah, not at all. And I used to hate that gatekeeper term because I never wanted to be looked at as one. I was like, forget the gatekeepers. We control the gates. Like, y'all are the artists. But I also think that I don't think I'm a gatekeeper in no way, shape, or form. And some people would see me as one because of the things I do. But I don't even think I have the connections to per se keep nobody from nothing. And that's what I see as a gatekeeper. Now, can I be a liaison to help you walk through a gate? Yes. But I don't think that's what's holding nobody back. I don't think because you know, we may have the conversations as a Mir I Am, who does her thing, as a DJ Chuck T, as a DJ Issa, as a DJ Top Hat. We have people that may sometimes ask us who are artists who are dope. We ain't ever not saying nobody that we don't think is dope, but also we may have connections that until an artist is ready, we don't want to waste. Mm-hmm. Like, I got numbers in my phone that I know I could call, they would pick up, but if I ain't got nothing ready, mm-hmm. I don't wait. They don't want to talk to me. They want to talk when I got something that's going, that's ready. So, no, but do I think we can work harder as quote unquote gatekeeper? Yeah, we could always work harder. I ain't going to say that I could not go to two or three more shows, that I could not stay on the internet an hour longer and listen more till I find that artist. Yeah, if that's what y'all looking for, but I promise you, it ain't King Carter. It ain't Arnold Taylor that's keeping nobody out of no gate. They just might not really be ready to walk y'all through until they see it.
So if it's excuse me. Mm-hmm. So if there is such a shortage of artists in from the outside looking in of artists making it to a high level mm-hmm. in the hip hop genre, because really recently the baby is probably the only one outside of J. Cole
for sure.
If it's such a shortage, but it's so much talent here, where's the disconnect? because you have, you do have gatekeepers who have connections. You have artists that are talented, and these two things aren't coming together because some people, they're saying they're not ready. I'm not going to waste this opportunity. So how do we fill the gap? What's going on?
So that's a great question, because there are so many talented artists. But I think it goes back to like just the society we in. Like back in 99, you could go up to the station and these people, we probably could walk you right through the door and walk you right up to have a meeting, and they're going to sign you and do that. Now it's a formula that the end that the major labels are looking for. Mm-hmm. I can connect you with an independent label. I've done that successfully twice that I can say for sure has occurred, that I've, you know, had some type of connection with to an independent label that is now helping that person or those people get to major labels. But the major labels want those numbers. The major labels want organic ticket sales. They want to see hard ticket sales. The labels want you ready. They're not, there are no, and if they are, excuse me, if y'all are working, keep doing your thing. But I don't think there's really any artist development at these labels no more in terms of a position that are work to, so you know exactly what to do. Everybody just trying to figure it out. And what happens is when I see bruh do a TikTok and a little dance and I see he done took off, then now everybody gonna try to copy that formula because they seen it happen. But in reality, it's like the lottery. Somebody gonna hit every time. But it's different things that they're looking for, and that changes. That's evolving as the streams evolve, as everything. Like, that's why I'm like, I feel fortunate to be a 90s baby, because I got to see an era where it was CDs, it was mixtapes, it was illegal downloads, it was all that stuff. To what a stream is now, to what a TikTok means now. Like, I'm seeing it all and still can comprehend it, and now I'm working in it. It changes every day. I don't know. You know, but I just know that that's a difference to me, because the labels are looking for certain things. Like,
and see, and that's where I think maybe I get confused, where if I have, let's just say if I have the connections to a label and I know what they're looking for, and I have connections in the city and I know what we have, why aren't these two things connecting? Why aren't the gatekeepers working with those people who are the closest to fitting that formula that the industry wants? And working on, okay, let's get this artist together. We know he's packaged good. We can get his numbers up. We can pour into this person, and then we can pull the next one so we can move. Like, there I feel are like some, this city doesn't do that.
There are some people, and I don't want to shortchange them, because I want to give an example, because what you're saying is what is coming together. There's an artist by the name of Big YBA. If I'm not mistaken, he's from Raleigh or from Durham. But I know he's backed by Carolina Plug. I don't know if you know who he is. New Nation, BK, those guys had a big hand in Sauce Pack and his development when he was alive. Rest in peace, Sauce Pack. But what they're doing is using their connections to move an artist around who they believe has already, who has done the numbers that they've seen tangible on YouTube, Instagram, also is talented and will do the work, but he also, in some way, shape, or form, has a budget. And when you can put all those things together, there are people that, when they see that you're ready and they know it, those three things are important: the talent, the numbers, and the budget. They'll help you with one of them three if they can, if they believe it. But if they see two, and if they can see all three, they're gonna put you in that position. So I just gotta say, those guys in particular, I've seen it, and I've seen that they wait until they know these three things align. I just think, like you say, that a lot of artists don't have all three. And I think somebody might have came on here and kind of said something similar, or said something in that way. Like, you got to, it's either they rap good and they ain't got no budget, or they got a budget and they ain't got no talent. And that's the issue. And that's ultimately where some people got to realize, like, shoot, every dude that's big and buff ain't in the NBA, ain't in the NFL. He's just big and buff. Like, that's cool, bro. Every 7-footer, I'd be like, bro, you tall, you don't play ball?
Right.
Nope. All right. Don't mean that you ain't got the, it's just one or the other. So that's how I look at it.
And you're alluding to what my next question is, what Chuck T said when he was on the show. And I asked him if he had the power to get three, if the major label gave him the power to sign three artists, who would they be? And he said that he doesn't believe any artist is on his radar is ready for a major label. So do you agree with him or disagree?
So I will say, first and foremost, shout out to Chuck T. I'm going to say I disagree with him, because I don't want to cop no pleas. I just want to say, I want to answer your question first. I want to answer your question first, but I will say that Chuck T has so much knowledge, mm-hmm. experience to know directly these things that I wasn't going to sit here and tarnish his answer because I think it just took a little more understanding. He explained it more. You put out a great clip. You set the world on fire. But if you watched it and you really heard, you know what I'm saying? He expressed what he said. But mm-hmm. at the same time, in his eyes, if that's what he feels, great. Me personally, I came up here with a list. Okay. That was okay.
Well, come on with your list. Because
I
didn't want
to, and I want to just give examples because, you know, I don't want to, and people are going to feel away, and I'm not really tripping about that. But I said, hey, I felt like Chuck should have said somebody's name mm-hmm. unless he doesn't truly, passionately feel that way. These, and you said three? Is it three?
Three. Now, these are three people that you believe are right now ready for a major label signing.
For sure. Okay. So I'll say one, Jules.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Jules is. Jules is signed with Quality ENT, which is a label in the city that does their thing. But Jules is the artist I worked with directly. And I will say this, it can say it's biased or not. I know from the first day I seen her, same thing everybody said, the girl's a star. She was going to be a star. I've seen her put the work in. If you look at her TikTok numbers, I think she's like maybe 800,000 followers on TikTok, like 56,000 on Instagram, 26K monthly listeners on Spotify. Like the numbers are there mm-hmm. and she's talented. She's got a good look. But I would say if a label came and got to put a budget behind her and got behind her, mm-hmm. they'd win. No
question. Is she a singer or rapper?
She's a singer. She's a singer. But she's dope. I'd say her for sure.
Okay.
I believe he may already have a deal. But I think Anella Harem, but I don't want to speak on that. Anella.
I don't know
him either. Another artist under DJ.
Me not knowing somebody has no way.
Anella Harem, I believe he does. He may have a situation, so I don't want to, you know, speak. I believe he does have situation, but because he has the numbers, he's very different. He's more of a folk country, but it's still rap. It's still rap at the end of the day. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
He would get a major deal easily, in my opinion. You said three, so you just messed me up. So I'm just going to go ahead and just pick off my list out of my three.
You can name your whole list if you want to.
I'm going
to
name a whole list because I got reasons why.
Okay.
And then I may have reasons why not, but maybe people can assume and decide on that.
Okay.
So I brought these names. I brought Jules' name. I brought Freddie P. Franklin's name.
Oh, man, I like Freddie P. Franklin.
He's amazing with his words. He's so dope. He's different, and he's very his personality.
Yeah.
If you see him on camera, if you meet him, his personality, you'll remember him forever.
He's extremely talented.
Super talented.
Extremely talented.
Now, are there again, everybody can pick through these people however you feel, but I can give you reasons why. I think he's probably one of the namesake artists in Charlotte. You can say his name, and 7 to 8 out of people that listen to Charlotte music mm-hmm. know exactly who he is. Yeah. Carolina music, I'm just going to say that.
Right.
I'd put him there. There's an artist by the name of Sequence Clark, who's a singer. He's a writer. He's extraordinary. I'd say he needs to work on his look. That may be the only thing holding him back. He maybe doesn't, and he knows this. He's a shy person. He'll tell you that himself. But the way he puts together melodies and songs, amazing. I'd give him a deal. Give him a publishing deal, if nothing else. She from the Four.
Oh, yeah.
She from the Four is amazing. Again, another artist I work with, but I believe I'm – have an eye and an ear for great talent. He has a great sound. He has a great look. Again, an artist who I just think needs the right eyes on him, and it would take nothing. Mm-hmm. It take nothing. He's a talented individual.
Yeah.
I want to keep going.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to
keep
going.
The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Quantrell Coakley. I don't know if people are familiar with Quantrell Coakley, but he's from Charlotte. He's a J. Cole, Drake mix. Like, I just can't put it no other way. Okay. Like all around bars, lyrics, the way he sounds. And he's actually had a song on the Matrix movie soundtrack. Oh. So he was able to do that. Shout out to I Got 20 on My Beat. They put that together. Okay. Again, another artist who, if a label asked, again, this is the label. Somebody actually told me if a label came and said, who would they sign in Charlotte? Somebody said, I tell them to go sign Steven because he's going to tell people who exactly to go sign. Like that's they say you're gonna save your money. So that's just what it is. I say just a few more and I'll just run through these. Okay. There's a dope individual by the name of Asher. He's dope. He's okay. Making great music. He's a great performer as well. Lil Zach Marvin has had two hits that he's from Raleigh that have translated into the Charlotte clubs. Mm-hmm. I think if these people or these songs that he has, the DJs of Charlotte really move the nightlife. I want to give a shout out to the DJs. But when they expand and play these records and I see them at other clubs and booked in other states, that's a song that they play. So Lil Zach Marvin knows how to make great songs. He knows how to make good hits. Three more if I can.
Okay.
And I already said Big YBA. He's another artist who I think is already on the cusp. Y'all will probably be seeing him soon. Lil Bree. Lil Bree is really dope. She has experience. She's been like in it since she's 16. Mm. So she's just been picking up on game as a youngin', but she's just a dope rapper. And she's puts in the work. She really has put in a lot of work in terms of all the things that you don't want to skip the steps. If we see Lil Bree blow up tomorrow, ain't nobody in Carolina going to be surprised.
Okay.
That's been following along with what she's been doing. And last but not least, I hope you agree with this, but I would say Money Train. I would say Money Train because Money Train has an amazing sound and look. And I think that R&B, we not going to get enough guys.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That's that gonna dive into it like he is. That's that has a look that he has. That's gonna be gone soon because nobody wanna do that. Even the guy Fourbacks who's all melodic. And sound like he looked like a hood guy, but he got the ski mask on. Like, the whole aspect of how Money Train presents himself and what he does, I think still has time to win. But I think that's why labels got to come in and see that, because we're going to miss out on something that I think could work easily.
Well, I'm hoping that we start to get back to some of the real music and get some R&B back in there. And maybe, I don't know, these kids are a little different, so they don't really want to hear no real music. So
I still need hard. It. I still need it. Now, everybody's going to be so upset with the names that I didn't name, but I didn't come up here, again, respect to Chuck T, and then say nobody. So y'all deal with how you want to deal with it, but that's me.
Listen, this is your opinion. That's your radar.
For sure.
This
for
is
sure.
your experience. So, sure. you know, it is what it is. And like I said with Chuck T, when he came on the show, if the artists have a problem with the names that you drop, if your name was on his list, maybe put the mirror up. Maybe you need to do some more work. Cool. Maybe you're not being seen like you think you're being seen. And it's always good to get some criticism back so you can work on your craft.
For sure.
You know?
And those are all just Carolina artists. I know a lot more artists from other places that are dope too. But I've actually kind of lost touch sometimes. I have to remind myself there's other music out there because I listen to, like I'd be on the radio like, who that? They're like, bro, that's you late. What you mean? I'm like, oh, nah, I never heard that before. But I give you any new song that's done dropped out of here though. So.
Right. And also, if y'all feel some type of way, prove them wrong.
Yeah, that's easy. You prove me wrong and go blow up tomorrow, and I sit here like the stupid face.
Yeah, so you know it's all subjective, people. It's music, it's art.
For sure.
So since you had your list, and you can use people on your list or whoever you want for this next question. But if we had a versus battle here in the Carolinas, which two up and coming artists would you put against each other?
Oh, against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I want to have a battle and I really wanted to go off, I would say, because I want to create a great, I like putting on shows. I like putting on spectacles. Mm-hmm. So I got to come with some people that's going to really come with that energy, that's going to come with also a catalog.
Yeah. Yep. And give us a show. We want a show. We want it to be a real versus battle.
Okay.
Between two Carolina heavy hitters.
Okay. Let's do this then. Let's go. This is like local. Well, it's local too, yeah. Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Wow, you just put me in a box. All right. The only two names that I feel like would be dope, and I think their music is just so different, but if you really listen to what they're saying, I would put Fetty P. Franklin in a battle against 704 Chop.
Ooh.
And because they both speak a lot of street talk,
uh-huh,
but the way they convey it to you, mm-hmm, is they make everybody relate. So Frank gonna say it to you and really just say it. He gonna say, "I missed the hall with the hair on," he said, I wish I could cook crack in the White House just to show Joe. Can I curse on this?
Yeah,
just to show Joe Biden who he fucking with. Just, you know what I'm saying? Frank gonna say something like that. And 704 Chop gonna just take loyalty me and everything and sing it to you and harmonize it to you like hell, make you be like, done. He making me feel everything that he's saying. Right. So if I would put those two together, I'm gonna just offer it, fellas. Can we put something like that together? You know what I'm saying? We're gonna have D sponsor it, you know what I'm saying? But let's do that, because that would be something dope for Charlotte. And I think everybody in Charlotte would probably agree those are two artists that catalog-wise, musically, you play a couple of their songs, people gonna start singing them, because mm-hmm, people just know. The one that I would, can I put like a three-way match in there though? Mm-hmm. You gotta put Hot Boy Shaq in there too. Cause Shaq gonna have the anthems that a lot of people gonna really be into too. And Shaq, just that's a three-way match that would represent Charlotte well, uh-huh, in terms of music, that people just know. So y'all put that together. I referee it. He gonna host and sponsor it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
That's dope. Okay. All right. You're gonna have the folks cutting up.
Yeah.
That's dope. Okay. So what is the most memorable moment of your career so far?
I have to say the first take thing.
It has to be.
The first take thing. Because for that too, it was since I was 11 years old, coaches, people, Stephen A. Now, my name is Stephen D.
Right.
But I've been answering to Stephen A because everybody just knows Stephen A. Smith and I had the same name and they say I look like it was just. So it was more kind of important, the fact that people from my hometown got to see that, mm-hmm, and got to look up on their TV and be like, oh my God, like the amount of people that send me pictures, text me. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, they asked me like, where are you from? We're going to put you know, and my first instinct was like Charlotte, but it was like, I got to put where I'm from. I got to put my, like, we ain't never going to see Fort Mill, South Carolina, right, on First Take again. I mean, I hope we do. I pray that we do. I pray there's an athlete out there, but I ain't never seen it and I ain't seen it since. So the fact that I was able to do that was major for me. And then just a quick story, in that same day, I go to the First Take show, that happens. And later on, I go to the Stephen A. Smith show. He's doing his radio show live, mm-hmm, too. And Shaq is on there. And, you know, I'm sitting front row, I'm chilling. They're about to end the segment and Shaq's like, I didn't know you had a celebrity in the building. And he's like, who? He's like, the guy in the Hornets. Like, I had a Hornets jersey on. He's like, the guy in the Hornets jersey. And he's pointing at me. I'm like, and I had an encounter with Shaq before. So I'm preparing for what Shaq is about to say. But Stephen A's like, who is he, a celebrity or something? Stephen A's like, now hold on now. Y'all done brought this guy up. Shaq talking about you now, like, who are you supposed to be?
Right.
He's like, no, Delonte West, which is like I don't know if you know Delonte.
Yes, I do.
So Shaq goes Delonte West, and I'm like, oh my god. Camera turns to me and everything. So I'm on TV again, second time. Same.
Oh my god.
He's laughing, but like I say, a funny story was, again, back to me being in Atlanta. I was working somewhere, and I saw Shaq. Mm-hmm. We had an encounter. He said Delonte West looking at, like, he said it before, and this might have been like 2 months earlier.
Uh-huh.
So to me, it was Shaq remembered me, you know, so because he, you know, it's like, of course, you know, he's meet so many people, but right, in that moment, if the interview's over, he's just like, let me take a moment real quick just to, you know, I remember you, you know.
Oh,
so it was dope.
God, that is
That's
dope.
Why I made it so memorable because, yeah, I meet Stephen A, I get joined by Shaq,
right,
and, you know, after that, literally maybe 2 weeks after that, I just come back to Charlotte. And like, mm-hmm, you say, I just started doing my thing. So it was inspirational, mm-hmm, memorable, but it also, it was like the pinnacle of my sports
radio career. Right. It's like I finally did something like I was, that was dope. Like, so it really just changed my motivation from like, what's next? Let's go conquer this music thing. So,
and it's crazy because the first time I saw you, I'm sure at a show or something that Money Train was doing, and I was like, I've seen him before. And he was like, well, I was like, I don't, and I was like, yo, he was on First Take.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yo, I saw him before.
Yeah. A lot of people, like I say, even to this day, that's something that I get. People all just tell me about it all the time. But yeah. They just mention it all the time. So like I said, it's very, very inspirational for sure.
So what, one or two, or if you just want to say one, what has been like one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn in this industry?
I had to learn it kind of secondhand, but also from experience, just from keeping your face clean is the most important thing in this. And there was a time when I was doing some club promo and just running around with certain people, and I saw the bad, and I saw it turn real bad for certain people. I'm naive to the game. Some of my people are getting involved, and it was a bad situation to where I realized, like, hey, if all you do is keep your face clean in this, you're gonna last in this. But if you start doing shady stuff or doing stuff that people don't trust you, then that turns into people start talking, and that turns into you bad out here. And then you just got to do good business as well. And if you do good business, I promise. That's why, again, I'll say Chuck T, 20 years in the game.
Yeah.
Business had to be done right in some way, shape, or form along this line for him to learn that, hey, this is how I'm going to stick around. So yep. I see it.
Absolutely.
That'd be the main thing. Keep your face clean.
Oh, yeah. This industry could be treacherous.
Oh, yeah.
It can be treacherous.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if you could work with any three mainstream artists, who would you want them to be?
Any three. Okay. I would love to work with Drake. I think everybody would love to work with Drake in some capacity. And that would more so be on the creative. Like this year, I'm really trying to help more artists with their creative, with their rollouts, with their videos.
Okay.
So I wouldn't musically know, but creativity wise, in terms of what Drake's brand is, I would love to work with Drake. Okay. Musically wise, an artist I would love to work with probably. Oh man. That's interesting because there's so many. Now you got my mind racing. Like who would really be dope? I would love to be in a studio session. I would love to be in a studio session for Tory Lanez. And I know
you're
Tory
the
Lanez.
Second person that came on here and said Tory Lanez.
I think Tory Lanez makes amazing music. Musically, and I can, you know what I'm saying? I got no opinions on nothing else about him. But I think musically. You know, that's what I have to tell that the artist a lot. Yeah. It's like, man, I gotta separate. Like, it's y'all making it harder. You know what I'm saying? There's so many artists making it so tough. But you know, I would love to, definitely have been in a session with Tory, and I think Tory just has shown in the last couple years, like he'll put that emotion in that music, okay. Like he'll let it out there. And then one more, I think I would love to work with DJ Khaled.
Oh man.
I would love to work with DJ Khaled. And that would just be to kind of check his process, just kind of just see his work ethic more than anything. And see how he does kind of decide Bryson Tiller, Rihanna.
Right.
Let's go. It's like, all right.
A whole hodgepodge of people he just put together and it works.
It works. Works. Yeah.
Okay. Those are good three solid people. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on three.
So what do you think is missing right now in the music industry?
What we said earlier, like that R&B, that feeling, like I don't hear enough of it. And I think that could be the times, but there's artists like Friday, Vito. I like a instrument as a voice. Yes. Anybody that's an instrument as a voice, that's what's keeping it up. When The Weeknd was doing it, you know what I'm saying? All of those guys that can do that, that's what's keeping it. But those guys aren't even always Brent Fires. They ain't even talking about love. They talking about drugs and slutting them out. And the, you know what I'm saying? But again, we going with the time. So I kind of have to, see take it for what it is. But I think that's really where man, like if I just had a, like, I love rap. Don't ever get it. That's why I help a lot of rappers. But if people look at the artists I've worked with, most of them are melodic that I really work closely with, because I think that's the harder part, but that's the win. That's the win right there. We can get one of them through. Come back and help rappers all day, man. But let me get that through, bro. Everybody gonna appreciate it. Everybody. So
yeah.
I think that's what's really missing. And I don't know if it's not what's being looked for, or, you know, I think it'll come back though. I think it'll come back. And I think the artists are helping when they do the samples or the remakes or the nostalgic songs that make you think of it. But we just need to we need some new ones.
Yeah.
Need some new ones.
Because everybody's literally still listening to 90s R&B.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm like, of course. Can y'all just make some?
Make something. Make something, like, man. Give it up. We just waiting on Beyonce to do whatever she's gonna do every time. Beyonce said, I'm going to country.
Yeah. Because we're really not getting any love songs. Like you said, like they might be singing, but they ain't singing about love.
I need a Sorry for 2004. Shout out Ruben
Stone. Oh,
I need somebody to really mess up and come with one of them, you know what I'm saying? So I can be okay.
Yeah.
Usher Confessions. Like, some y'all going through it. Like, you ain't going through it. Just put it in the music and find a way to. I don't know either.
Like,
maybe they are, and we just, like you say, the times ain't picking up. But
and I think a lot of it also, you know, social media drives so much. Yeah. And right now it's like the battle of the sexes, and it's like, yo, can we please get back to some sort of
girls
love?
Got it right now. The ladies taking it over. They going crazy.
We look, fellas, we need y'all outside singing in the rain again or something, like grabbing for the air. I don't know, something when y'all used to just.
Sexy Red got the screech.
Oh man,
Sexy Red got the screech. Y'all hear that?
Want that?
We don't, but she don't got it. She got it though. Let somebody tell you she don't.
Oh, but that's what they pushing. So, and like listening, it is funny because my son is only 14, and I was shocked because he'd be in the bathroom. You know, got his music loud, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What you know about Erykah Badu? What you know?
Oh, he know that.
He's listening to like.
Oh,
what?
Like,
what? You know that?
We still got him around. He picked up on something, because I'm sure you had to be playing something somewhere. Like, he picked up on something.
So I think these kids are listening to some stuff like that, because I think they want to hear some of the ratchet stuff sometimes, but I think they get tired too.
They do. And I think they don't want to, like, I test everybody. You know, I'll be like, you don't know that.
Right, like, they try to prove you.
Yeah, like, what you mean? Like, you don't even know nothing about
that. They try to prove you wrong.
Right.
Yeah, but I hope that we have a shift soon.
Yeah.
Actually, I had AJ from Audio Box Studio last week, and he kind of mentioned like there will be a shift coming soon. He got some insight on some things on where it's gonna be a major shift, and people are gonna be like, "Whoa,
I'm ready."
And yeah. So we need to lower the vibration a little bit. Because I think it's way too much frantic music happening and people are losing their minds.
They are.
So, yeah. As far as like you working in the music industry, what has been like your biggest win when it comes to that side of things?
So I would say my biggest win would be realizing, and it's probably just coming as of late, that creating the platform is the key. Like I always say, and I don't like to pick on rappers, but like the rapper is like the last job you want to be. Like I tell God, like, thank you for not making, like, I never wanted to be like, in high school, I might've did a little something. You might find something out there, but I ain't never want to be no rapper. I ain't never want to be no singer. But again, I've always wanted to help people, but I realized every other job in the music industry is the one that wins. Like, that's the lucrative job. That's the longevity job. That's the job where you can go and work with multiple. Like, it's really what I've realized. So even creating platforms, or I'd say not being so tied into just one thing and being multi-purpose. So I can be a media. Mm-hmm. I can be a manager. I can be a mogul. I can be all of that. Yep. It's just a matter of knowing that the industry has so much room. Yes. And if you can learn it all and figure it all out, then you can either zone in if you want to, But then tomorrow you might be the next job, and you got longevity versus if I'm the rapper, I gotta worry about my age. I gotta worry about my it's all as soon as you that first hit, once you get that one, Boss Man D-Lo still eating hibachi. He hitting them now, but we waiting on you to hit another hibachi. Come on, you gotta stay up there. You know,
right?
It's hard. As soon as you get that first one, you automatically is on the roller coaster. Yeah. So that's what I've learned is probably my biggest win, and not being just selfish and knowing, like I say, I carry the towel. I carry the sign.
Come on now.
Tripping? Because like, as soon as you win, I know my contribution, and then I'm also a person too, and somebody said this might be your flaw, so be careful. But if I did it once, I can do it two times. Mm. So I don't even get caught up sometimes when it's like, oh, you burned me? Word. I'm going to go recreate it over here better. And you. But so people tell me, like, be careful, because especially in this game, because you can, your intellectual property is everything. Your IP is everything, and what you know and what you can put out into the world. But I also believe, like, it's not just one. It's not one. I'm going to have multiple.
Exactly.
A lot. So.
Yep. Okay. Those are good. So, I think for after last week, you know, I normally have one question that I ask everybody in the show, but I have two now, thanks to my friend Fred over there.
Okay.
So the first one is, what has been the best piece of advice someone's ever given you?
Okay. It was probably my mom. Mm-hmm. And it occurred when I was younger, just because in Fort Mill, like I say, for some reason, in like the fifth grade, I tested out of regular classes. So till I was in the 12th grade, half of my classes, I'm the only black kid in the class. Mm. The other half, I go back and I'm with everybody else. But I get picked on a lot. I get, you know, I'm light skinned with red hair. You know what I'm saying? I went through, my mom had married a white man at the time. Wow. And you know, it was, I couldn't, I had epilepsy, so I couldn't play football with my friends. I faced a lot around 10, 11, to where my mom said, why you care so much? She broke it down. She was like, you get what you want. You know what I'm saying? You're not hurting for nothing. You smart. You don't realize that your mama looked good. That's why everybody talk about her. They want her. Why you care about the opinion of all these people so much? Are they doing any of these things for you? Mm. No. She's like, okay, so yeah, they're gonna talk, but don't let it really affect you. So as I got older and people would say stuff, I'm laughing with them. You funny, this whatever. And then I realized, like, the girls like that. The girls like the red hair.
Oh my
the girls
god.
Like the girls like the freckles. And so everything now they looking like like you for what they don't know, bro. I'm just me. So really, my mom just instilled in me, like, don't be one too serious with yourself in terms of what people think. Mm-hmm. Long as you know who you are, you securing yourself. Man, I walk around. I used to went to the formal, put pink on, because I don't care. Everybody, what you wearing pink? Why you not wearing pink, bro? I look good in it. Like, I just build a level of confidence in me, and that really, I just always can think back to them times and her just like, why you care? And I just didn't. I don't know. You're right. Mm. Changed everything. So, probably the best piece of advice I ever got in life. Okay. For sure.
That's good. Okay. So, what advice would you give 15-year-old Steven?
Oh man, not 15-year-old Steven. Oh wow. I would definitely have told myself, don't get so caught up in the goal, but like enjoy the process of what you're going through, because I used to get so disappointed when I didn't get something and not realize that I was just building myself, just molding what really was on the other side of that door. And I'm just so disappointed. It ain't what I thought, but the whole, what I needed was on the other side. I would really just tell myself, like, yeah, don't get don't be so down on yourself that it ain't happening today. I would also tell myself, like, enjoy your family and enjoy the people that love you, because I'm 32 with no kids. And I got little brother. I have brothers that are, I have a brother that's 20. And I missed a lot of his life because I got, in my 20s, I was so caught up in living and what I was going on. So I looked up and he went from 8 to 20 so fast. And I'm like, whoa, what you mean, bro? You want me to pick you up from the club? Like, what you talking about? Like, no, no. So I even look at that and I'm like, yeah, like, I don't got no kids, but like I miss my little brother kind of coming, like helping him through like all the little stuff that I'm like, dang, a big brother would do, to where I'm like, enjoy the time with your family. Don't get so caught up in what's going on. So that's something I've tried to do this year, like starting off the year. So that's it, man. 15 and save your money, dog. Like, you're gonna come across a lot of money, bro. Put that stuff away. Yes. It's gonna make sense later, but put it away.
Dang. That's good. Listen, that was so good. Look, if you piss people off, we don't care. We over here talking.
I just told you,
no sugarcoating over here. So we tell the folks like it is.
And I want to tell you too, congratulations on your YouTube success. I'm just sitting here thinking about like, why is someone able to grow as fast as you are and do as well? Because you do great. You do have great questions. You have great energy. And I see that you really care. And that's something I try to take into my interviews. Like, I like to do research. I like to know what's going on. But I want to give you that chance to let people know you. So I think that you do great at that. Thank I got to give you a
compliment. I appreciate that.
For sure.
Really, I really do. And I appreciate you for coming on the show, for being honest, for opening up and not shying away, because I've had guests come on who won't answer some questions because they're scared of what the people gonna say in the Carolinas. So thank you for that. I've been around you several times in different environments, and it's always good to have one-on-one conversations with people so you can really get to know them outside of that, all of the mixing and mingling and stuff like that. So thank you again. This is a part of the show where I let my guests tell the folks what they have going on.
She'll
tell people how to follow you. Whatever you want to tell them, let the folks know. The floor is yours.
For sure. So first and foremost, I want to tell everybody to just give me a follow at Stephen the Dream. That's STEPHENTHA Dream. I do have a couple platforms that I have going on. First and foremost, Motion Monday, which we do at Queen Park Social each and every other Monday, which is a showcase performance opportunity, a networking opportunity as well, that I do with DJ Kid, DJ King, and CDK. Also on Tuesdays, I do something called Turn Me Up Tuesdays with Miss Money Moves and DJ Mello, another showcase platform for artists to come and perform, showcase their talent, win prizes as well. And right now, I'm just working on my media production side with Dre Ocean Drive, who's a videographer. We got a platform called Stress Test that we're about to drop in April, kind of like a drop mic series that we're doing. We also got something called The Garage that we're pushing heavy. And I'm always pushing my This, That, and the Third interview series as well. Would love to have you on sometime. It's not just music artists. I interview anyone that's got a story to tell and that's got something going on. Last but not least, Carolina Heat Up. Make sure y'all just follow that page as well if you're looking for more artists, looking for anything to do with Carolina music. I try to post as much as I can and tap in with me, man.
That's what's up. And I would be honored to come on and interview.
Let's do it. I want to know about D, the core queen, how to keep the core tight. You know, I'm over here hurting. I wanted to ask some questions, but I'm gonna save it.
Yeah, come on. Listen, I know a lot of people don't know a lot about me, so I would love to come on and talk.
Yes.
But y'all know I am the core queen, and I love to unbig bitches back. That's what I do. You need somebody to help you get your shit together, you call me. I'm your girl. I help individuals lose weight, get in amazing shape without starving themselves or spending hours a day in the gym. I love to have good people on my show. I love for y'all to tune into my show. So make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel, hit that notification bell, tell your friends about the podcast, like, comment, share it, do what you need to do so we can grow. We can have more podcasts, more good people, more energy, more fun. Y'all, this is the last episode of season one. I cannot wait to bring you guys back for season two when I move into my new studio next month. The grand opening will be sometime April. I will let you guys know when it is, bring you on. We have a fabulous new guest, and we'll be talking shit and getting fit mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. No sugar coating, y'all. We are out. Larry won't give no names.